and I are so excited to be here with you all. We love you so much. When Pastor Jack called and asked if I'd come and minister, I said, well, twist my arm. No. We love y'all so much. And this is home, away from home. And what a beautiful family here. Beautiful family. God's doing amazing things here. Hallelujah. We're running into the glory together. Huh? Running into the glory together. And I've got some things I want to say about that. Pastor Rebecca's going to let me know when we're on. We're good. All right. You know, Lord told me, He's made me very aware of it. He's not doing things like He used to. And in particular, He's not doing things like He's done in the 80s and in the 90s and the early part of the 2000s. And we've been there a long time, been right where we're supposed to be. But we've been there a long time. But the winds have changed, and we're going in the direction that the Holy Spirit's blowing. Hallelujah. And everything, Bill and I, we came back to Jesus in the early 80s. And he grew up in church. My teenage years and early adult years were with the Lord. And when we came back in the 80s, a lot had changed since the 60s and the 70s because God was doing a new thing. We had taken a little hiatus with the devil for about 5 years there, and then we had come back to the Lord in the 80s. And there's things that God had to restore to the body of Christ. We had to learn faith in His Word, learn His authority, learn how to renew our mind with the Word of God, learn how to take the Word of God and make a declaration and speak the Word only, like our brother and sister back there are doing. They said, no, I'm not going to talk the sickness. I'm not going to talk the disease. I'm going to speak the healing only. And we had to learn this and renew our mind to that. And these are the very pillars that have brought us to where we are today. And I had this dream. I saw these pillars, these two huge pillars. In this dream, I was walking around in a castle, and I'd come through these two pillars. Going through these two pillars was taking me into the next place. And see, in this next place is His presence. And we're not letting go of where we've been. I mean, that's that. In fact, these pillars would open up. And inside these pillars were these treasures of scrolls. And the Lord told me, He says, I still have treasures. I still have secrets that I've not yet showed you regarding some of the principles that I taught you in the 80s and the 90s. And so I'm excited about that, as we're going to hear more on the life of faith and authority and things that we have not imagined yet. But these pillars are what we've passed through to come into this place of His presence. When Bill and I came back to the Lord, and we were in Bowling Green, Kentucky, but there a short time, and the Lord had brought us to Lexington. And our first day in first assembly in Lexington was Apostle Callahan's first day. And this is where we begin to grow and begin to thrive. And one of the very first things that we had learned was about pressing into the presence of God, to know God. And it was like I waited all my life to hear that. And so we're not where we're going. We're not talking about something we've not known before. But in discussing this, one of the things Pastor Jack said, and I believe this with all my heart, is he said God had Apostle Callahan declaring the end from the beginning. And we've never stopped as far as pressing in to the presence of the Lord.
But there's a new push in the Spirit. There has been a reigniting in the Spirit, and this began around the end of 2017 and has just increased ever since. And I can't get away from this, nor do I want to get away from this. This time, this place he's taking us that we have never been before. We're going into realms and dimensions of him, Carol, that we have never been before. And some might say, now you need to be careful with that. Don't lose your balance, you know, and you wanna, don't leave off the word. No, we're not gonna leave off the word. Jesus is the word. You might get flaky, you know. When we were learning faith, I saw some pretty flaky things in the name of the word where we were learning. But you know, there's room for that. As long as we don't stay flaky, right? Where we're moving into the things of God and we're wanting to put action to our faith and we're wanting to make declarations and the Father's with us like we are with our kids is, look at them. Look at this. They're working on working this and it delights him. We're talking about the reality of his presence. That's the term I've been using a lot lately. The reality of his presence. I'm not talking about a feeling, though feelings are involved with it. I'm not talking about an atmosphere, though his presence will change an atmosphere. But people can feel a feeling and experience an atmosphere and not be changed. But when you come into the reality, into the presence of God himself, you can't stay the same. You will come out changed. It's transforming. Hallelujah. And I'm going to kind of put myself out there, but Pastor Jack can correct me if he wants to when he's back here. But you have the Word of God. His word is the power of God unto salvation. He upholds all things by the word of his power. You have the presence of the Almighty God. God himself. The reality of his presence. Which is better? Which is stronger? Which is more real? They're the same. You can't compare them. And you don't leave one off to embrace the other. We get it all, baby. Amen? And so we're at this place of his presence. The Lord told me at the beginning of this year, he says, And I know this sounds cliche, but it's what he told me. It's 2020 vision, and the harvest is in clear sight. And so this is a year for evangelism like we have never known before. Amen? In fact, child of God, it's really never been a harvest problem. The harvest has always been ready. It's always been ready to harvest. We just maybe have not seen it as clearly as we ought, but it's been, I used to get very frustrated in my prayer time because I would go into intercession planning on interceding for the harvest, praying the harvest in, and I'd find myself praying for the body of Christ. And so I would finish praying for the body of Christ and I'd say, I'm sorry, Lord. I said, I meant to pray for the lost, but let me focus on that now. And after a few times of doing this, he says, Sherry, he says, the harvest is ready. You're doing exactly what I want you to do. He says, it's the laborers that are few. The laborers have got to be prepared. Amen. And at this time in his presence is such a preparation of the laborers because we're coming into a place with him. Face to face with him, where in that place he can put us on like a glove and animate us in the harvest and do what he wants to do. We're putting ourselves in the same position that Jesus did with the Father, so that when he left that place, he only said what he saw the Father do. He only did what he saw the Father do. Amen? And that's what we're doing, is going into that place of his presence to hear what he's saying, so that we'll say exactly what we're supposed to say, to see what he's doing, so that when we come out, we will be doing exactly what we saw him do. And that's where the results are. That's where the results are. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory. Turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm 67. Harvest is waiting for us. All of creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And here you've been, Grace Fellowship of Georgetown, in this place, preparing yourselves, allowing God to rearrange your life, make the changes that are necessary, bring forth those giftings, those anointings, those graces. You've been in preparation. And we're in this place of drawing face to face with him as never before, so that in that place we're reflecting his glory. You can't separate glory, presence, and goodness. When Moses met with the Father face to face, he was in the glory of God right there in the tabernacle of congregations. Right there. Talking to God face to face as a man does to a friend. And there he is. So hungry for more, because he always knew there was more. And he said, I want to know your ways. He says, I want to know your ways. That's why the word said Moses knew God's ways, because whatever it was going to cost him, he was going to find out the ways of God. See, that tabernacle of congregation was open to everybody. All of Israel could come into that place. But Moses, he was the only one that entered in. And the word said that Moses knew the ways of God. Israel knew the acts of God. They knew what God could do. They saw the results. But Moses knew his ways. When it was intimidating, inconvenient, to press in deeper. I mean, I think sometimes it could feel like it would cost you your life to press in that close to God. Moses was all in, because he wanted to know God and know his ways. But the Israelites would back up, afraid and intimidated. And they weren't willing to move past that and to press on in. I heard the story about Smith Wigglesworth. There's this prayer meeting going on, and there were a group that attended this prayer meeting. And they would go in, and they'd get in deep, but they'd get in so deep they felt like they were going to die. The presence of God would be so strong in that place. And so they would leave that room. And Smith said this. He says, all right, I'm going in this time, but if it means I die, I die. I'm staying in. And he went on in, and he felt like he was going to die. The presence of God came on him so strong. In fact, he told God, he says, this is going to kill me if you come on me any stronger. But he stayed when everyone else left. Well, that man, I don't know what the number of how many dead people he raised back to life, and the miracles that he saw, and the power that he saw, but he was willing to press in for that. Moses said this. God said, all right, my presence is going to go with you into the promised land. And Moses said this. He said, if your presence does not go with me in the promised land, I'm not going in. In other words, for Moses, the promise was not worth the lack of presence. He says, if it means that I have to stay in the wilderness to have the presence of God, I will choose presence over promise. But God said, no, I'm going with you and I'm going to take you every step of the way. In fact, what did Moses say? Moses said this, Tammy. He said, how else will people know that we're yours? How else will people know that we are marked by you other than the fact that your presence goes with us, not promise? Now, all the promises are yes and amen, and we're not leaving anything behind, but Moses knew this is what marked him and separated him from everyone else was the presence of God. Amen? And so Moses, he says then, I want to see your glory. Moses is right there in the glory. And he says, I want to see your glory. And God said, all right, come on up the mountain. And so he went up higher. I love this. God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So there's going to be this place in the rock that you'll stand. And he says, I'll cover you with my hand. I just got such a beautiful picture of that. This father who loves his friends so much is just going to cover him with his hand. And when Moses said, I want to see your glory, God wasn't denying the glory. He was defining the glory. He says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. In other words, all that he is, all that he has, he's a good God. He's good. He's good. So there's Moses. It said that God stood there with Moses. And you look up that word stood, stand, in the Hebrew, it was like he was getting as close to Moses as he could. As close as he could get to him without killing him. Isn't that beautiful? He loves his friend. And he knew his friend loved him. And so there he is. And then he puts his hand over him. And then he moves so that Moses could look after him and see all the goodness. He had presence, goodness, all in the glory and love, because God is love. Amen. And so Moses came down from that mountain after this encounter. Say encounter. Every encounter will transform your life. And after that encounter, he came down and he was transformed by the goodness of God. By spending time in the presence of God. It physically changed him. And the people couldn't look at him because they weren't where he was at. They could have gone where he was at. That invitation that Moses got to come up the mountain, the reason he got that invitation is because he was hungry after God. If all of Israel would have been hungry after God, they would have got the same invitation. I think I'm talking to hungry people this morning. So I believe I'm talking to people who they have a standing invitation with God to come in deeper. He calls you his friends and he loves you. And yes, we live and we move and we have our being in him. He abides in us, but there's a place of his presence of drawing in deeper that he's just saying, come on, come on. So Moses came down and he's totally transformed by spending that time with God. So he put a veil on, give the instruction to the Israelites. Then he'd go back in before his friend and take the veil off and talk to his friend. And then he'd put the veil back on and go tell the people what his friend had said. Aren't you glad that you get to go in as his friend and hear for yourself? Hallelujah. That every one of us have been invited into that place. Do you have time to get to Psalm 67? Psalm 67 in verse 1, it says, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, Selah, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health amongst the nations. He says that he wants, the psalmist here, he wants the face of God to shine upon us so that his ways may be shown in the earth. This right here, this is the way. This is the way here. This is the way here of coming into his presence and meeting with him face to face so that through us, his ways may be known in the earth. What a way to do life with God. Make sure you have your tabernacle of congregation. Have your tabernacle. I'm not talking about literally building a tent, but have your place where you meet face to face with God. Your trysting place. Those places become marked by the presence of God. My main location of visiting with him is my family room. I get in there with him, just him and me by myself. I have hours there with him. Sometimes it's the sanctuary at my church there in Louisville. And it's funny, I'll go to the church to work in the office, and I have to go through the sanctuary to get to the ladies' room. And so I'll be in the office working, which is what I need to be there for. And then I'll walk through the sanctuary, and I'll be like, it's marked with his presence. I remember we had a friend over for dinner, he and his wife. And while I was finishing up making dinner, he was walking through the house and he kept stopping in the family room. And he'd walk around and he'd come back to the family room. And he says, why is it here of every place else in your house that I am drawn to? And I says, that's my tabernacle. That's my trysting place with the Lord there. So your tabernacle is marked by the presence of God. Amen. And it beckons you. It calls you. It draws on you all the time. And what a way to do life, because there you get to go and meet face to face with him and then take his ways to an orphan world who's looking for their father, and he loves them so much, and he's using you to cause them to encounter him. Amen? Turn with me to Psalm 72. We have so many promises regarding the outpouring of God, having encounters with God, and I'm just going to take you to a few here. Psalm 72 and verse 6, it says, and he shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and the abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. I like this in the Passion. Let me read it to you out of there. Your favor will fall like rain upon our surrendered lives. I believe I'm talking to people who have surrendered their lives to the Lord. They're saying, I'm holding nothing back. Whatever you want, God, whatever you require, I give it all to you. I lay it all down. Do you know that there's not anything that you will lay down or give to God that he does not return greater to you? You know that. Sometimes it'll be something that wouldn't be all that to someone else, but it is to you. And I'm not talking about sin, though of course that would, you know, apply here, but he says, no, that's just not convenient for you right now. I just want you to lay that down. And it's like, huh? What? Lord? But man, once you hand that over to him, there's so much greater that comes on to our lives. We're surrendered. We're surrendered. Whatever it requires, whatever he desires. If it means it might make me uncomfortable, because he's sending me to someone that I would never consider to go to speak a word to, especially that word, I won't be surrendered. I want to carry as much of him as I can. What? A word of knowledge? What? Call out a sickness, a disease? What? Lay my hands on them in Kroger's in front of everybody? This is kind of awkward, God. Maybe they don't want me to do that, God. Well, ask them. Maybe they do. Well, what if it doesn't work, God? Well, what if it does? There's more chance that it'll work than it won't. And you do it enough times, it's eventually going to start working. But you got to start somewhere. Amen. We're talking about manifesting his presence everywhere we go. To take his ways to the world. See, and maybe not everyone will agree, but in here, it's easy to prophesy. In here, it's easy to give a word of knowledge. In here, it's easy to lay hands on people and believe they're going to be healed and see them healed. In here, it's easy to give a word of encouragement or instruction to someone. In here, because see, in here, this is what we do. And pretty much all of us are doing the same thing. But we got to go beyond in here. Because there's orphans in your workplace. There's orphans at Kroger's and the mall and at the restaurant. There are children out there without a father. And the father wants to connect to them. And you are the connectors between heaven and earth. See, this is our assignment. This is our mandate. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Invading earth with heaven. Well, how does that look? You know, when Jacob was at that place and he saw the ladder to heaven and it, the angels ascending and descending, and then he has this epiphany, this revelation. I tried to say that word like I knew it, but I don't know how to say it well. He had this revelation. He said, this is the house of God, the gateway between heaven and earth.
Well, honey, who's the house of God now?
You are. And you're the gateway between heaven and earth. And we want to get heaven to earth, to the people. Yes, yes. The wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just. That's a part of it. The glory cloud, that's a part of it. But we can have all the wealth of this world and a great big glory cloud. But if people's lives are not being transformed, we have not accomplished the purpose of God. And so as the gateway between heaven and earth, you're taking healing and deliverance and salvation to people out there. You're taking God to them. He loves them. He loves them. And when you go and you give someone a word of knowledge, it was their secret between them and God. And it was just letting them know, oh, my Father does know me. He knows me. That's, I believe, one of the most intimate gifts of the Holy Spirit is the word of knowledge. Because you're telling them something only the Father knows, and it's letting the Father express his love that way to them. Prophecy. Do you know it's easy to prophesy? You encourage, you exhort, and yes, it tells future things too. It revelates the plan of God. Every one of you in this place can prophesy because he says our sons and daughters will prophesy. Well, you're either a son or a daughter. There's nothing in between. So you can prophesy as you go throughout the marketplace. And that's the manifestation of God to them, heaven to earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hosea chapter 6. All right, Hosea, you should just open right up there. Hosea 6, verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us, and the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain, unto the earth. This lets me know that if I will pursue him, he will rain on me. He will pour out his spirit on me. This is how I'm wanting to challenge you today. This is my assignment. I know these verses I'm taking you to are verses we have for revival in the earth. Right? But revival begins with us. With us. And so I find then that if I will pursue him, he's going to pour out his spirit on me and rain on me. And you come in here corporately together, and each of you as individuals, you're pursuing him. You think you've experienced the rain so far. Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet because we're going places we've never gone before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's in the pursuit. Say the pursuit. And you pursue him. Just, I have to know you more because I know there's more to you, God. And he's going to rain on you like you've never been rained on before. He's going to pour out his Spirit upon you at home and here. I want you moving in deeper at home daily like you never have before. And then come in here and move in deeper like you never have before in these services. And you're going to hear and see. That's how you find out his ways. In that place, you hear and see. And now you can take what you've heard, you can take what you've seen, and you take it out there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we go on to know him, and he'll come to us as the rain. Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. It is a guarantee. If we are thirsty, he will pour out upon us. Joel chapter 2. Let's go there. Verse 28. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. Well, these days have been for quite some time. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. You doing all right out there? Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, say suddenly. I think I heard suddenly's prophesied this morning. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And it talks about the different places that they came from. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? So most were amazed as to what was going on. Because you had these men speaking in a language that these men personally didn't know, but it was in the language of those nations that were represented there. Then, of course, you had the others that were mocking them. Now, I want you to see what happened here. Is they had an encounter with God. They had set themselves apart as instructed by the Lord, and they waited upon and met with God face to face, and they had an encounter with God. And the encounter transformed their lives. You know, I was born again at the age of 14. And at that age also, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues.
That was in the day that we thought we had to tarry. And I had this sweet man, Brother Parker. I'll never forget him. He was a friend of my grandfather's. He was my mom and dad's Sunday school teacher. And he evangelized my friends and brought my friends in from South End Toledo. That's where I grew up, into church. But he's the one that prayed me through to these tongues. And so I could pray in tongues. I didn't have much teaching on tongues. I could pray in the Spirit. Some change happened in my life, but it was all about the tongues. Now, I pray in tongues a lot. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than y'all. We're to pray in tongues. I pray in tongues to build myself up on my most holy faith. I pray in tongues to find the will of God in my life. And I didn't know how to use tongues in those ways back then. I'll pray in tongues for those around me and for my country, because sometimes I don't know all the details what I need to pray, but the Holy Spirit sure knows what how I'm supposed to pray. So I'll pray in tongues. So I learned this as time went. But Jesus said in Acts 1 verse 8 that when the Holy Spirit come upon them, they were going to receive power to be witnesses. Not a one of us in that church had any power, but we all spoke in tongues. Now, one phenomenal thing that happened here is when they were praying in tongues, and every one of them was praying in a language of a nation that was being represented there, and those nations were receiving the word of the Lord. That didn't happen when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I got one word, shimmy. So I shimmy, shimmy, shimmy till I got in some more tongues. Hallelujah. It's where we were at the time. His mercy endures forever. But Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and shall come to pass in the last day, said God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, so on and so forth. Amen. And then look over at verse 41. At the continued result of this encounter with God. Verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls that came because there was a group of people that were hungry for a move of God. And they rearranged their schedule. They changed their days, and separated unto and met with God, believing they were going to have an encounter. And they weren't quite sure what it was going to look like or what it was going to sound like, but they knew they would encounter God. And they encountered the reality of His presence. And it altered them forever. And it got those results. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's not the only experience, because we go over here to Acts chapter 4. That's not too far away. And you have a prayer meeting going on. Of course, this was after Peter and John had been arrested, and then they were released. and they're having a prayer meeting. And in this prayer, these are the same guys that were in the upper room in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. But here in verse 30, it says, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they, I should have read verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, stretching forth thy hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Now, these were the same folks that were in the upper room that met with God and were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word with boldness, and they saw healings, they saw miracles, but they were like Moses. I know there's more. So I'm coming in for another outpouring. I'm coming in for another encounter. I'm coming in to be immersed in the presence of God again. And they were immersed in the presence of God. There was another outpouring upon them. And they left that place speaking with even more boldness and seeing greater miracles and getting greater results than they were before. Each encounter will bring a transformation and take us to a new level. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you excited? In Acts chapter 3, one of my favorite places here. Verse 19, it says, repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. For when the times of refreshing, that would be better translated, for when the times of revival, times, plural, times of revival shall come from what? The presence of the Lord. Right there, you all. You're right there. For the greatest move of God this earth has ever seen. But it's because he's got some radical people like you that are so hungry after God, who are constantly saying, I know there's more. I know there's more. I know there's so much more. So here I am again. I'm going to stay here till I hear you, God. I'm going to stay here till I see you. Because I know it's impossible that once I hear you and see you, for me to remain the same, I will be changed. Okay, God, I know I was here yesterday, but here I am again. There's more. I'm going to stay right here. Because I know you got more that I need to hear. And you have more that I need to see. And I'm thankful for yesterday. But I want to hear you today. You're my friend. I want to see you today. I know I was here yesterday, God. Here I am again. You're always talking. You're always revealing yourself. So I'm positioning myself again today, and I'm not leaving again today till I hear you again and see you again. Because he is talking. And he's revealing more and more of who he is. And each revelation, 2 Corinthians 3:18, turn there. I know you know it, but let's look at it. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So every time we come face to face with Him, we're seeing Him. And as we're seeing Him, the power of who He is transforming us from the inside out to where we go from that place with Him changed, not the same. I'm going to add this, but I'm not going here to this little stream here. I just want to take you there for a minute and then we'll get back. We'll always pursue Him like this because we're just that hungry. But you know what it awakens in us? A constant 24/7 awareness of His presence. And in His presence is His goodness. So it's a constant an awareness of His goodness. Well, what did Jesus do with that goodness that He became aware of in the presence of the Father? Well, Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Because, yeah, when you go in there and encounter Him and encounter His goodness, you just can't keep that to yourself. You gotta get that healing goodness, deliverance goodness, all that goodness to someone else. See, in Ephesians chapter 3, I have no clue what time I started. And if Pastor Rebecca's going to show me when I need to shut this down, you'll have to jump because there's a glow behind you, that window there. Y'all heard it. But you're with me. Ephesians 3 here. Talks about being at this place with Him where we're able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. I want to read this in the Passion, I believe this is. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. An extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. And so, what's happening then, that as you're those Hebrews 11:6 people who are diligently seeking the Lord, He's rewarding you with Himself, is what He's doing. And that's a promise we have in Hebrews 11:6. He's rewarding you with Himself, pouring Himself
out on you in dimensions you've never experienced before, to the point that you're filled. What's it say? You're filled with all the fullness of God. But see, I like the way that said overflowing, because we're to live out of the overflow. Have you ever had a cup that you feel, we would call it too full? And for me, it's usually coffee, not water, that I filled as full as I could. But now the challenge I face is being able to walk with that cup of coffee and it not spill over. And there's the point of a full cup that you can't move without it spilling over. This is what he wants to do. Like I said, what a way to live life with him. To come into his presence and get so full of him. Filled with the fullness of God, that you can't move your baby finger and healing is not shooting out of that finger. That you can't hardly move your lips and there's not a prophecy coming forth, a word of knowledge coming forth, a word in due season coming forth. That you just kind of blink at a devil and whoo, devil gotta run. Because you're living out of the overflow. Because you've spent that time in his presence. And you've been filled with more and more and more and more. See the answer to the prayer in Matthew chapter 6. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first answer to that prayer is, thy kingdom come, his kingdom comes on us. When his kingdom comes on us, then he sends us out and his will is done in the earth. Those guys that were in that prayer meeting, they said they couldn't keep quiet about what they seen and heard. It was overflow. It was overflow. It was overflow. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.